we said, grow, grow, grow. And seriously, I could have just kept on saying grow for the whole half hour, 45 minutes. I know that that would have gotten repetitive. And hopefully it wouldn't have been vain repetition. But the Spirit compelling us to grow and to choose to grow. And to, if you will, there's a few times in the Word where the words make every effort. Ephesians 4 comes to mind. Live up to the calling you've already received. Like, do it. You take the reins and do it. Of course, God has the reins and He's in charge. But it's this place of, but you have a responsibility. Grow. 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 And so, this week then, as I was just praying about this, and the words believe. 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 And it's believe. Believe it. Believe what you have heard. Believe what God has said. When you read it, choose to believe it. And it is a conscious choice that needs to be done. So when we read God's word, we choose, I believe this, and it's like you were saying about, you know, what you heard on the radio this morning, where I'm going to settle into more. And it's this place of, I believe that God has more. So in that particular instance, I believe that God has more. I believe that we can see clearly what some of that more is, not all of it, because some of it is beyond the horizon. Some of it we can't even begin to understand. And let's face it, in this world, we'll always be just scratching the surface. I'm always reminded of that because, you know, I remember Randy, and again, we shared again this week with someone where, like, not that Randy and Darla are the most godly people on earth, but I can say that they're the most godly people I've ever personally met, you know, and I've ever personally spent time with. I haven't met a lot of people, but take that for what it's worth. But I remember Randy saying, in his walk with God, he feels like he's just scratching the surface. He feels like there's so much that he doesn't understand. Feels like there's so much more to grow in. Like he's just scratching the surface. And it's like, if he's just scratching the surface, what am I? I'm just rubbing it lightly then. He's scratching, I'm just like, I'm playing with it, you know, really. Just the surface. And so, there's always more, but we need to believe that. We need to choose to believe that because scriptures make that very clear. And we need to choose to believe it. Now, what does believe mean then? Believe means then we put that into action. I love how you're saying like what you're dealing with selling the building for the pie plate, you know, what it's doing, and it's putting a lot of what you've learned and what you thought, it's putting feet to it. It's putting it like there's flesh and blood to it. It's not just theory. It's not just thinking. It's like, oh, these are real life decisions. You know, these are affect our lives and other people's lives decisions. And how we walk through this is really important. And that's where belief, that's where the rubber hits the road. That's really the crux of belief. I remember a year or two ago, we talked about, hey, don't tell me what you believe, show me what you believe. Don't bother telling me what you believe, because really that's not that important. It is. Like, please don't misquote, and this is where misunderstanding can happen. Of course, what you believe and telling it and speaking it out and having proper doctrine and all that is very important, but it's, according to James, for instance, it's not important if you don't walk it out. It's just a crocheted mantle or a hand crocheted mantle on, you know, those embroidery. It's just an embroidered verse on the wall with a nice frame that if you don't walk it out, you know, don't tell me you love me, show me you love me. Don't tell me you care, show me you care. Don't tell, you know, all these things. And so even with how we handle our finances, it's like, yeah, don't tell me everything is God's. Don't tell me everything belongs to God. Show me that everything belongs to God. Show me. And like, not show me, I'm not saying show Kevin. And like, it's God, you know. And so, but believe. Do we believe that God is sovereign? Do we believe that God has a plan for you and your finance and the pie plate and anything else that goes on? Do we believe, right? Do we believe that He is sovereign? Do we believe that He wants to lead us? Do we believe? And then if so, then show it by what you do. Show it in your decision making. Show it in how you live your life. And it's this place. And so I hear God saying, believe.
Mm-hmm. Here, I maybe going to do it at the start of jumping the gun.
No trouble.
To believe in what we're doing. Like, you say we believe in God. In a case like that, we were not given an exact number from heaven.
Right.
You've got a number. You pray through it. You've got a peace.
Mm-hmm.
Like Larry was talking about. Right. And that sort of. So I think the area I struggle with anyways is the belief in, yes, I believe God leads, but I'm questioning myself, right? I'm questioning me, not so much God.
Absolutely. And that's where we concentrate on what we do know, not on what we don't know. So yeah, for instance, you don't have a specific number in mind. Okay, then you hold that loosely. You hold that loosely. Maybe you look at the market, you listen to other people's advice, and you make sure that they come to that advice through even if they're non-Christians, through a decent process, you know, where it's not out of greed or it's not out of selfish, like self-serving things, you know, where it's fair and just and good and that. But you concentrate really on the things that you do know. So graciousness, you know. So for instance, when someone says, yeah, pressure them. Anytime someone says pressure them, or anytime someone pressures you, okay, automatically, it's like, that is not of God. That is not of God. And to recognize, okay, Lord, that is not what I see in your word. It's not gracious. It's not patient. It's not kind. It paints, you know, paint a person into a corner. That's not good. That doesn't go with God's character. To try and force a bad decision, you know, kind of thing. And so we believe that and now walk that out. Like, so what you guys did, just saying no to the person, whoever suggested that, whoever counseled that, saying, no, we're not going to do it that way. That's not how we're going to walk through this transaction. And so we put feet to it, right? And we believe in kindness, and so we walk in kindness. We believe in graciousness, so we walk in graciousness. Now, with a specific number, again, sometimes God does give a number. You know, sometimes that does happen, and then you just stick to that. Oh, but they're going to walk away if we don't lower it or a little bit more or whatever. Then they walk away. That's okay, because I feel that God gave us this number. And, you know, but if you don't have that, you walk in what you do know. So if you've prayed through it and you feel that, yes, it is the time to sell the building, okay, we're going to walk through that. We're going to walk that out, and we're going to walk it out in the character of God. Does that make sense? So often, I know it's tempting, we often concentrate on what we don't know and forget what we do know. We need to flip that script. We need to concentrate on what we do know and not forget what we don't know, but at least hold it a little bit more loosely. And so it's like what you were saying, Mel, too. There are some things that God has talked to you about, and it's like, okay, I got to walk these out. You know, and sometimes we want to talk to Him about, you know, our future and our distant future, and, oh, Lord, how's this going to look? How's that going to look? Where should I go here? Where should I go there? And He's like, you know what? I've told you to get more in the Word. Just concentrate on that for now. Or I've told you to go talk to your neighbor about me and just sit down and have coffee with them. Just go do that for now. And who knows? It might be sitting down with your neighbor having coffee with them that all of a sudden the Lord opens up what you're supposed to do next in life, you know, and that kind of thing. And, oh, I see. But just concentrate on what you do know. So, believe and walk it out. Believe and walk it out. Because unless we put feet to our belief, it won't lead to that more. And God wants to reveal himself more. He wants to live in us more. He wants to show us more. He wants to change us more. And we need to believe it. James chapter 1, verse 21 says, humbly accept the word of God planted in you. And it's this place of, okay, God has planted his words in us. The parable, it's in Matthew 13, it's in Luke chapter 8, the parable of the seed, the sower, and the soils, you know. In Luke, it talks about how that seed is the word of God. Okay? And so God plants his word in us. And it starts with his written word. Okay, that's where it begins, where he plants this word in us. Humbly accept it. And as I was thinking about that verse in James 1:21, I just saw beautifully tilled soil, right? Just beautifully crumbling in your hands soil. Just beautiful. And a seed goes in, and the soil is a little bit moist. Right? It's got a little bit of water in it, like the moisture in it. And it's like the seed goes into a little crevice and the soil just encloses around it beautifully, you know? And you humbly accept it. You just, I'm going to nurture this. I'm going to hold it closely and allow it to grow. So we humbly accept the word of God planted in us. We don't fight against it. We don't push it away. We protect it. And the way we do that is we start to walk it out. We walk it out as best we can. Not that we'll walk it out perfectly. We strive for perfection, but understand we're human. We fail, okay? But we still strive for perfection. Be perfect as your Heavenly Father is perfect. Be holy as God is holy. You know, we strive for that. But we nurture it and we hold it close. We stop fighting against the word of God planted in us. Because I think this sometimes happens, where we fight against the word of God. And it often, the way we fight against it is with the yeah buts in our life. Right? And oh yeah, I see God saying that, but... And so, finances. Okay, finances are one of the areas that lead to highest tension in our lives. There are other things too, but since we're talking about selling of a property a little bit, those can lead to very stressful situations in our lives. And so we want to humbly accept what God says about our finances. We want to humbly accept about what God says about this world's ways and this world's riches and that. And it's not wrong to have things, and it's not wrong to sell things and buy things, and it's not, you know, but we want to humbly accept what he says, and we're looking for that peace and all of that. We don't want to do, oh, but yeah, but Lord, this is happening, and that's happening, and this person's saying that, and that person's saying that, and this isn't fair, and that's not fair. No, we don't want to throw out and toss out the word of God because of our own worries or because of our own ways. Again, we want to humbly accept the word and nurture the word. We don't want to nurture our anxieties. We don't want to nurture our fears. We don't want to nurture a worldly way of thinking. So we want to nurture a godly way of thinking. And God's ways are... Like with finance, for instance, God's ways are at peace. God's ways are generous. God's ways are the way he looks at finances. I think it's like, yeah, and this world will pass away. So understanding this world will pass away doesn't mean you give it away for free, because this world's passing away anyways. But it's in peace, you know. And so we walk that out. We put feet to it. We believe. Julie, you were going to say something.
Oh, I was just going to say that. Take
care of
that captive.
Exactly.
So, just compare it to the word, right?
Absolutely. Is this thought, and so you think about the seed planted in us, the word, and say, for instance, our thoughts, Okay, I'm going to try and do an analogy here. We'll see if it works. Say our thoughts are like what feeds that seed. Will these thoughts nurture this seed, like watering the seed? Will these thoughts water this seed in a healthy way? Will these thoughts, you know, fertilize this seed from God? Or are these thoughts poison to the word planted in you? Are these thoughts like spraying Roundup on the seed that God has planted in me? Are these thoughts like digging up the seed and throwing it away? You know? Even a baby's cry is cute. Oh my God, it's not that cute. And so, yeah, take those thoughts captive, because is this going to nurture God's word, or is it going to kill God's word in you? Right? Is this going to water it, or is this going to destroy it? And so whether it's our thoughts or other people's thoughts, like you're saying, someone comes in with their thought and says, pressure them, give them a 24-hour deadline to pressure them into making a bad decision. That's a thought that person didn't take captive, and I don't know if the person who said that was Christian, non-Christian, you know, they could be either, right? And it's like, is that thought a thought that will nurture God's word, that will allow God's word to flourish, and we'll see God's kingdom come and grow in our lives or in the other people's lives? Or is it a thought that actually kills the seed that God has planted in us? And if it's something that kills, we get rid of it. It's like, no. And the way we get rid of it is not just, I'm not going to think about that. That is one way. But the way we kill it is, I'm not going to walk that out. I refuse to walk that out. I refuse. Because again, a belief is more than just a cognitive exercise. A belief is what we do. A belief is what we do. And so again, believe. And the way we believe is we nurture those seeds that we know God has planted in us. We nurture the seeds of the Word of God. The way we do that is we walk them out. Even if we don't feel them. You know, again, to the golf instructor analogy, okay, this might feel wrong. And I've heard, if you're, for anyone who, not many golfers, a few golf, but not many. But if you're swinging wrong, or if you're doing anything wrong, forget golf, anything. Piano, I know, or typewriting. I used to play piano, not very much. I do chords now, and that's it. But there was fingering for the piano. And say you were, all you pianists, you know, your fingering is wrong, and someone comes along and says, that needs to be corrected. For the first little while, doing it correctly will feel really weird, won't it? Doing correct fingering.
That's because the teacher slapped you with a ruler.
That reminds me of when our kids did Taekwondo in Thailand, and one of the instructors did have this little ruler, and if they didn't do perfect form, he'd just lightly. But typing with two fingers, learning to do it correctly with nine, that all of a sudden feels really weird. But it's like you've got to walk it out. You gotta walk correctly. You gotta live correctly. Your belief has to show in what you do. And yes, for the first little while, it might not feel right. But we don't live according to our feelings. We live according to what is true. And yes, sometimes we have to deconstruct what we've done improperly and then start building up to do it properly. So we nurture the Word of God in us, we walk it out, we live it out. Does that make sense? Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so a little while ago, wanted to start watching another series already, and he had already watched this quite a while ago. And so I knew that Larry wasn't a big fan of it just because of the style or whatever, but yeah, just started watching it, and every time that we'd start watching, within 5 minutes he was asleep or whatever. So I don't know, I might have watched then maybe 6, 7, 8 episodes. And then Larry said to me the one evening, "You know, it's up to you," he said, "but I'm just not going to watch that." And it was, in that instant, I was like, okay, yep, it's done. Mm-hmm. Because there was something that was unsettled in me, and not that this series was wrong or anything like that, but just for us and for me, and it was the leadership. Like, I needed, somehow God just brought that into late, and it's like, okay, I hear this, and so it was so easy, but somehow I have to kind of walk into that, and then kind of like you said, sometimes you start walking, and you think, no, this is okay,
mm-hmm.
you know, but all of a sudden, no, it's not,
yeah.
and so done,
yeah.
you know, and so I love that, like, there's that, you have to walk it out,
yeah.
A flip side of that, there was a verse that I was given from the Lord, I thought, for somebody, and I had it for a few weeks, and then it was time to actually give it.
Mm-hmm.
But I wasn't 100% sure, because it was an odd kind of verse. And I kind of wanted to keep saying, but this isn't. But finally, it was like, no, I think I have to give this. So as I started to write it out, oh, the Holy Spirit just fell, like in an amazing way. Doesn't happen very often, and it was like, oh, so I had to walk that out too,
mm-hmm.
and it was for very good, you know, both are actually for good,
mm-hmm.
so, yeah, so I just agree.
Absolutely, and often, until we put feet to what God is saying, until we put feet to what God is saying, we won't see it in its fullness. It reminds me, Larry and I, a few years ago, 3 or 4 years ago, we were going through the whole thing of often people say, "I'll believe it when I see it." And that's not biblical. What's biblical is you'll see it when you believe it. It's totally reversed. And sometimes you won't see it right away. Sometimes we'll have to wait. You go to Hebrews chapter 11, people living their lives by faith, And they never saw the fulfillment of the promises. They never saw the fulfillment of the word of God in them, but they walked it out as they knew how. Abraham was wandering all over the place, left his father, left his mother, left his family, walked to a distant land that he didn't know about, you know, was going to offer Isaac on the altar. He walked it out. He was promised that his descendants would be as numerous as the stars in the sky and the sands on the seashore, right? And when he died, he saw three of those stars. If you do the math, he saw Isaac, and then he saw Jacob and Esau, his grandchildren, his two grandchildren of promise. And really, Jacob was the one grandchildren that the promise would continue through. But he didn't see the stars as numerous as the sky and sand on the seashore. You know, he didn't see all of that. He didn't see Israel become a nation. He didn't see the millions and millions of people, you know. And so sometimes when we believe, we won't see it. And it's great, like, you know, sharing this verse that God sent an anointing where you could feel his presence and there was this manifestation of God's presence on it. But you know what? Sometimes you won't. Sometimes you won't feel this manifest presence. Sometimes you won't see the heavens open and angels, you know, ascending and descending from the throne of God. You know, sometimes it'll just be, I think I'm supposed to do this, so I do it. And then you, okay. But I heard God say to do that, and so I do it. And let the results stay with God. But walk it out. Walk out the belief. I'm going to go to Judy first here. Okay.
Yeah, so I had read in a book a while ago, and it was talking about the relationship between believing and actions, or walking it out. And basically it was saying, if your actions are off, there's something wrong with your beliefs.
Yep.
And I think even sometimes, like, and I'm speaking more to myself here, that there are times when I'm not walking out something that I know God has said, but maybe there is a belief in there in myself of, I don't know if this is quite trustworthy. Because I think you automatically, the book that I was reading, and it makes sense to me, you walk out what you believe.
You can
almost always like you. It's
I would take the almost out of the sentence.
So whatever you are believing, you are going to walk out. So if you're not walking out in a way that you should be, there's something maybe not quite right in what you're believing, or something has to shift in what you're believing.
Yeah, if you want to know what you believe, just examine your actions. That's what you believe. If you want to know what's important in your life, notice what you spend your time on. That's what's important in your life. If you want to know what you believe about finances, look at your checkbook. That's what you believe about finances. I believe in giving generously. Really? Do you give generously? Well, no, I haven't gotten around to it. Then you don't believe it. It's a doctrine that you understand is true. It's a doctrine. And so you pass a test in Bible college, you know, but that's not what you believe. What you believe, and this is a hard one because it's like, oh, darn. Like, it's very humbling. Because you find out what you believe by what you're doing. And then the question is what we are doing, does that line up with the Word of God? And then if not, if you see that what you do is not in line with the Word of God, are you willing to change? Are you willing to do an about face? Are you willing to, because I know, so I look at something in the Word, again, I see the Word of God planted in me. So every time I'm reading the Word, every time I'm remembering the Word, every time I'm meditating on the Word, God is trying to plant it in me. He's just sowing the seed. He's scattering seed over my soil. And will I humbly accept it? Will I nurture it? Will I tend it? Will I water it? Will I fertilize it? The way I do that is by walking it out. If I don't walk it out, the birds will come and steal it. Or the sun will come out and scorch it. Or it'll be evident that there's rocks in my life where there can be no root system in it and it dies quickly. Or the weeds come up and choke it so there's no fruit. Okay? Because I believe more in the weeds than I do in the Word. And so as I examine my life, what do I believe? What do I believe about this? Oh, man, I guess this is what I believe. I guess I believe in selfishness. You know? I guess I believe that selfishness is a very high quality. Or in our world, like, you know, entertainment. I guess I believe entertainment is very important. Do we believe prayer is important? You go into any church, and you say, the preacher asks the question, is prayer important? And everyone will come and say, amen. You know, do you believe prayer is important? Amen, brother. Do you pray? If you don't pray, you don't believe prayer is important. It's just as simple as that. Right.
If you don't believe that, why would you bother praying?
It's great. It's true. It's like, of course God answers prayer. Huh? Well, you know, James says, show me your faith without deeds, and I will show you my faith by what I do. He's basically saying to the person who is all about, oh, my faith, I talk about my faith. He's like, that doesn't impress me. Show me your faith. Show me it. I'll show you my faith by what I do. You'll be able to tell what I believe by just watching my life. You'll be able to see what's important to me by just watching my life. Now, I got to give a little caveat, because that, like, I'm being very strong here, obviously, you know, caveat, or a little bit of a, we all fail, okay? And so we all stumble. And I'm not talking about stumbling right now. I'm not talking about, I said those words again. I came across too harsh again. If you have a remorse over it, you actually do believe that your words should be kind and gentle. It's just you're having trouble walking it out. But it's when a person says, no, it's just the way I live my life, and put to that, well, then that shows what you believe. And what I say is we need to nurture the Word of God in our lives. So again, when we read it, we start, like, again, it really begins, like, it not just begins, that's too weak of a word, but like the Word of God, as we read it, will we live it? Will we walk it out? And so again, those words, believe. It so goes along with last week, grow. It's believe. Oh, but I do believe. No, believe. Oh, but I do believe. I believe. Peter, when Jesus says he's going to die and the sheep are going to be scattered and that, Peter is like, I'll die with you. I will die with you. And Peter didn't know what he believed. And God, like Jesus showed him and told him what he believed. Now your skin is more important to you right now. Saving your own skin is more important to you. You think you believe, like he truly, Peter really, really thought and believed, like thought he believed that he would give his life. He wasn't lying at that point, like as in purposely deceiving. He was deceived. He didn't know what he believed. He didn't realize that saving his own skin was far more important to him than he thought. He thought he loved Jesus more than he actually did. And Jesus is like, no, your belief is going to be displayed for everyone. You're going to deny me. The beautiful thing about that is, though, when we actually are confronted with what we actually believe, we can change. And so by the end of Peter's life, and even just 50 days later, at Pentecost, he truly was willing to give up his life. Like, that's truly what his belief was.
Printed off one of my devotionals this morning, and it's called "Find Exactly What You're Talking About." So,
yeah.
It's called "Consider What Your Actions Say." For I was ashamed. This is on Scripture, Ezra 8:22. For I was ashamed to ask the king for a band of soldiers and horsemen to protect us against the enemy on our way, since we have told the king, "The hand of our God is for good on all who seek Him, and the power of His wrath is against all who forsake." A convoy on many accounts would have been desirable for the pilgrim band, but Ezra was ashamed to ask for one. He feared that the heathen king might think his professions of faith in God were mere hypocrisy, but might imagine that the God of Israel was not able to preserve his own worshippers. He could not bring his mind to depend on heathen instruments in a matter so evidently of the Lord. And therefore the caravan set out with no visible protection, and yet guarded by him who was the sword and shield of his people. It is to be feared that sense this golden jealousy for God. Even those who in some measure walk by faith occasionally spoil the sparkle of their life by seeking help from man. It is the most blessed thing to have no props and no buttresses, but to stand upright on the rock of ages, upheld by the Lord alone. Many begin to seek government funds for their church if they remember that the Lord is dishonored by their asking for Caesar's help. As if the Lord could not supply the needs of his own cause. We run so quickly to friends and relatives for assistance if we remember that the Lord is glorified by our obvious reliance on the solitary arm. My soul wait only on God. But, says one, our means never to be used? Certainly they are. But our fault seldom lies in their neglect. Far more frequently it's friends who are foolishly believing in them instead of believing in God. Few run too far in rushing around the world, but many sin greatly in making too much of it. So learn, dear reader, to glorify the Lord by whatever means untried, but by using them, you will dishonor the Lord.
So good.
Mm-hmm. I was like, the other night I had a dream, and it was someone who I haven't even talked to for a long time. They're a believer, but I don't know if they believe in prophecy or anything. but it was like very clear, and I knew I was supposed to tell him. So I haven't even private messaged him on Facebook ever, but that was the easiest way for me to tell them. And they didn't, and I told them the whole thing, and they didn't respond, and I'm kind of like, okay, how am I gonna, you know, like, is this gonna, am I gonna let this bother me? No, because I, you know, I walked out what I knew to do and what the word said. Yeah. So, and then another example, yesterday, Danny was going on and on about something. I had this urge to give advice or whatever, and it's kind of like, okay, at this moment, is the advice because I, my need for it, or is it, so is it gonna, you know, like, it's like a step back, instead of like, back, you know, and I didn't say anything, and I was sort of, I'm like, yeah, cool, you know, and it, you know, always what comes to my mind is, do not provoke your children, right? So, like, is this going to maybe provoke him a little bit inside or make him feel, like, bad about himself or whatever?
Right.
And it's like, okay, no, I don't need to speak right now.
Yeah.
So, I was just...
So good.
Yeah.
So, it will come, like, what we believe. So, like, what automatically comes to my mind there is love. Like, 1 Corinthians 13, you know, love is patient, it's kind. But it's not just a verse to be hung up on a wall and say, we believe this. It's to be walked out. Do you believe in love? Well, then, if you believe in love, you will be patient. You will be kind. And this is where it's like, Lord, I believe. Help me in my unbelief. I want to believe more. I think I believe that passage fully, but I really don't. Like, if I have to be honest with myself, I really don't. And I want to believe it more. I want to believe that it's more important. Or you think about, you know, just the example of someone, God gives you a prophetic word, and you know it's from Him, and you want to share, but what if you don't sometimes? I know I've sometimes withheld. It's like, why? Well, because I'm scared of the other person. And so then you walk down. What does that mean? Well, I actually believe that their feelings towards me are more important than God's word towards me. It's like, oh, that's too harsh on yourself, Kevin. No, it's not. That's the fact. That I fear man sometimes more than I fear God. That's just a fact. It's like, okay, well then how do I get rid of that unholy belief? How do I nurture the holy belief of that I should fear God more than man? Walk it out. Water it, tend it, nurture it. Walk it out, live it out. Or you know, you give a word of prophecy to someone, they don't respond well, or they don't respond at all. What are you going to do with that? Are you going to worry? Are you going to beat yourself up? Are you going to be all this? Well, that means then that their feelings towards me matter more than what God's word was towards me. That's the belief. We don't want to nurture that. And so how do we get rid of the bad seed and keep the good seed? We nurture the good seed. No, I walk faithfully in what God has called me to do.
Yeah. I was tempted to say something else to try and get them, and then it's like, no.
Right.
I'm putting it there and I'm leaving it, and right. Now it's in God's hands.
Good. Because what if you would have? Like, and I know maybe in years past you would have, right?
That was the only
two. Right. And it's like, why is that? Why is that? Why do I need to pursue that? Well, because their affirmation is more important than God's affirmation. Their affirmation is where I build my worth in. That's what the belief was. Again, you would never cognitively say it, because as soon as you say it, it sounds foolish, because it is. But that was the belief, because that would have been the action. We show what we believe by what we do. And so we examine, oh, this is what I'm going to do. No, that's not what I want to believe. So we toss out that seed. We go into our garden and go, that weed shouldn't be there. Get out. That shouldn't be. And we nurture the good seed. No, I'm supposed to find my self-worth in Christ alone. My worth comes from Him. My worth comes from the fact that He died for me. He lives in me. My worth comes from the fact that I am made in the image of God. That I am a child of the King. walk out what we believe. We walk out what we should believe. And so in order to make a belief a true belief, we walk it out. Move it from a cognitive belief or a doctrinal belief into an actual life-giving belief. You walk it out. You exercise it. You nurture it. Any other questions or comments on this? Yep.
I was wondering if you include my mom, Pat, in our prayers today. She's been in the hospital since last Sunday, and we're trying to figure out what's wrong with her.
Yeah. And Josh had given one update on it that was not good and then good and then but now.
Well, last Sunday we took her by ambulance. She'd been there the previous week, mm-hmm. and they sent her home. And Sunday she was experiencing the same symptoms. So we thought she was having a heart attack. So we rushed her by ambulance there, and when we got there, they took her for a bunch of x-rays and tests and took blood and gave her nitro. They found that it wasn't a heart attack. She'd had one years before, but her hemoglobin was really low. And so they had to give her a blood transfusion because they figured there was blood loss somewhere in the body. So she had a blood transfusion last Sunday night, and then they sent her for a scope on her Sunday, which came back negative.
Okay.
Then 2 days later, they sent her for a lovely colonoscopy, which turned out negative. And then they did a nuclear dye test as well. And that showed that she has bleeding in her small intestine. So, and then she's had two more blood transfusions since that Sunday. She's had three. And we're waiting, because usually every 2 days she's needing. So today's the day, so we'll find she needs another one. So we'll need to get her in for a CAT scan so that we can figure out what we need to do. But she's in there, yep. That she's being taken care of, not had her anymore. So hopefully, we've been waiting since last Wednesday for a CAT scan.
And so her name is Pat.
Her name is Pat.
Do you mind me asking if she knows the Lord or not?
Pardon me?
Does she know the Lord or not?
I believe she does, yes. She practices in the Anglican church.
Okay.
And she does go, usually on Sunday mornings to her church. And yeah, she does. I believe she does know the
Lord. Let me pray for Pat, and then we'll worship in song. So, Lord God, even with this, when we pray for the sick and pray for Pat, you know, in light of what we were talking about, Lord, you see how hard it is. I think I can say for us to believe. There's something blocking our belief, Lord God. And I don't know what it is. I know your word says you are the healer. And I know that, you know, the timing of that is all up to you. But I know there's something off in my belief. But I'm going to try and nurture a biblical belief about healing, Lord God. And so we pray for Pat. Pray for healing. Call down the healing of heaven. And even as we've talked about the process and just how we walk through things, I pray that this whole process for Pat, I pray that she will see, I know this, I know that in all things you are seeking to draw people closer to you. Believers, non-believers, you want to reconcile all people to yourself, and you want those who are reconciled to draw even closer. And so I pray for Pat, and I pray that through this process, Lord, she will know you better than she's ever known you before. I pray that you would be revealed to her, more in a deeper way. I pray that the word, your word would be revealed to her in a deeper way. I pray that her fellowship with you would be sweet and that your name would be glorified because of how she walks through this, Lord. Whether for the nurses, the doctors, the different people, Lord, and glorified in the heavens as well. And Jesus, we look to you for even like as we seek to grow in these things, in our we want to have a biblical belief and a biblical understanding of all things. We look to you, Father, we look to you, Jesus, we look to you, Holy Spirit, we look to you to nurture your word in us. In all things. I pray that the plants, the seeds that you have planted in us would grow, and that the seeds of the world and the enemy would die. And we love you. We love you, and we want to love you more. In your name, amen.